You know, when I was a little boy, my father used to, well, maybe he wasn't a little boy, but my father had an interesting sense of humor, and he used to talk about how I'm a good boy, and he doesn't have to pay me to be good. I'm good for nothing. And, or he'd ask me, do you have to pay you to be good? No, then you're good for nothing, right? So, well, that's what I'd like to talk to you about, being good for nothing tonight. The world had no use for Jesus. He was good for nothing, as far as the world was concerned. In John chapter 14, verse 30, Jesus, in that 14th chapter, you know that area of the Bible where those chapters where Jesus is talking about the fact that he's going to go away by way of the cross, but he's going to send the Comforter to live in our hearts and to bring his presence to us again. And there'll be peace, and there'll be joy, and there'll be righteousness that fills our lives because the Comforter has come. Praise God. And here in the 14th chapter of John, toward the end of the chapter, he talks about the prince of this world coming and not finding anything in him. I just want to read that to you, and I don't know why I'm taking so long to get there. Okay. It says now, in verse 29, now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it has come to pass, ye might believe. And there he's talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit and so on. But then he goes on to say, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and he hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. And then Jesus began to make his way over to the Garden of Gethsemane. And it was just a short time before he would be arrested, beaten, tortured, crucified. And so he was pouring out his heart to his disciples and sharing with them these most precious truths about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And then he said, now I can't talk with you much more. There was a change of attitude. There was a preparing for battle that Jesus had to give himself to. And he said, the prince of this world is coming, and he can't find anything in me. But even so, I'm going to go to the cross. If you look that up in other translations, sometimes they help us. I always like to start with the King James and then see what other translations have to say. The New Living says, the prince of this world comes. He has no power over me. He has nothing in me. He has no power over me. And the English Standard Version, I think, says it maybe best. He has no claim over me. The devil's coming, but there's nothing in me that he can claim for himself. Sister Caroline Gardner used to say, there's nothing where he can put his filthy paw on in my life. There's nothing in my life that the devil says, that's mine. That attitude is mine. That thought, I put that there. That belongs to me. That's of my kingdom. I claim that. No, Jesus was perfectly pure, perfectly holy, perfectly separate from the world. A nothing in Christ that the devil could claim as his own. He couldn't find any response in Jesus to his temptations. There was no attraction in Jesus. He wasn't drawn to the lure of the world or by the lure of the world. It had no effect on him. There was nothing in Christ that the enemy could make use of. And so Jesus was of no use to him. He was useless, good for nothing, as far as the enemy was concerned. In John chapter 12, Jesus said, now, in verse 31 and 32, He said, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Although there is nothing in Christ that the devil could claim, there's no reason why Jesus had to die on a cross. There was no sin in him. Yet, of course, he went all the way to Calvary to bear our sin. It was different with us. The devil had a lot to claim in our lives. But Jesus went to the cross to pay the price for us, as we know. And now Jesus said, and when I die on that cross, the prince of this world is going to be judged. And his kingdom is going to be condemned, destroyed, through the power of that sacrifice and resurrection. It was the devil's doom to get Jesus on that cross, and he didn't realize it. It says, if the princes of this world knew who Jesus was, they wouldn't have crucified him. And if the devil knew what was going to happen to his kingdom through that spotless blood of the Lamb, perhaps he would have never gone ahead with that. I don't know, or have encouraged that. But those are mysteries that maybe we can't look into exactly. But Jesus said, the prince of this world is judged. His kingdom is defeated. He's cast down principalities and powers through that sacrifice. And then Jesus in John 15 talks to his disciples. And there he tells them that if the world hates me, it'll hate you. These things I have commanded, that ye love one another. John 15:17, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of this world, the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you also. And if they have kept my sayings, they'll keep yours also. Jesus knew the world hated him. And he said, and you're going to be like me in this world. I've chosen you out of the world. I've cleansed your heart. You're my child. And now I'm leaving you in the world, but the world is going to have the same attitude toward you that it has toward me. The Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 6:14 said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me and I am to the world. That's always interested me. What did he mean by whom the world is crucified to me and I to the world? He said, because of the death of Jesus Christ, the world has no claim on me anymore either. It had a right to accuse me before the Father, but now that I belong to Jesus Christ and I've been cleansed by his blood, the world has no claim over me. I don't have to respond to its temptations. It's lost its attraction for me. It has no influence, a power over me, but I can be free from that through the grace of God. I can live free from the world. The world is no use to me any longer. It used to be at one time. I lived in the world, and that's all I knew. But now that Jesus has come to me, the world has no interest for me. I've gotten a sight of something better, as we've heard before. The world has no claim on me. The world has no power over me. I don't have to yield to the temptations of the world. I have a different power, different life inside me, greater than that of the world. And so the world means nothing to me anymore. And I am no use to the world. You know, it must confuse the devil or be very frustrating to him when he had people that were so, he made such good use of in his service. You know, sometimes people give their testimonies and they say, you know, when I was in the world, I really served the devil and I served him well. But now that Jesus has come into my life, I'm a new person. And the devil has no use for me anymore. He doesn't know what to do with me. I don't do the things I used to do or think the way I did. I've been changed from the inside out. And I'm no use to him anymore. I don't build up his kingdom anymore. I don't go after recruits anymore. I'm totally sold out for the Lord. And so I'm of no use to the world, and the world is no use to me. You know, God wants all of us to be able to say that. That I'm useless as far as the world is concerned. That the world doesn't know what to do with me. I love Jesus so much. All I think about is him. All I want to do is walk and seek his face and live in his presence. All I want to do is show him how much I love him. And I can do that best by obeying him. Obedience is a way to show my love to Jesus. Jesus said that the world may know that I love the Father. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to drink that cup of suffering that he gave me to drink. You know, we think that Jesus went to the cross because he loved us. And of course, that's true. Jesus went to Calvary because he so loved the world. But Jesus said, I go to Calvary because I love my Father. And my Father told me to do it. And so, because I love my Father, I'm going to show him that. I'm going to show the whole world that I love my Father. And I'm going to show the whole world how much I love my Father by drinking the cup of suffering that he sent me here to take. And so the Apostle Paul, I close with this thought here in Philippians chapter 3. He was one that became somewhat useless to Satan after his conversion. And it seems like he became useless pretty quick. Some of us, we take a while before we become useless. But he seemed to excel. In the third chapter of Philippians, a very familiar passage. We've heard it preached many times here at camp. In the seventh verse of Philippians chapter 3, it talks there about the things that I counted gain. Now, I consider loss, but those things, what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. He said, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith, through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Praise God. And he says, I haven't fully attained just yet, but I keep pressing, pressing to know him, pressing to know the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, and to be made like Jesus. Hallelujah. To die to everything and of this world, and to live for the kingdom of God. Praise God. And so I just want to leave that simple thought with us. Oh, that it would be said of us that the world is crucified to us and we're crucified to the world. The world has nothing to offer me anymore. I have no interest. And I am no value to the world. And the world hated Jesus. That's why it hates me too, because I'm of no value to the world system, to the kingdom of darkness. But I've come out of darkness into his marvelous light. And now the whole purpose of my life is just totally opposite of the purpose of the world. The purpose of my life is to know him in his fullness. Not know about him, but really know him. And to know the power of his resurrection, that power that sets me free from sin, that power that lifts me out of the flesh and enables me to walk in holiness and righteousness, and to know the fellowship of his sufferings, to enter into the sufferings of Christ. The things that break his heart, they break my heart. And I suffer in that way. And if I have to go through physical suffering, I praise God. I allow God to fulfill his purpose in me through it. You know, that must confound the devil too, when he tries to make us suffer. And all the suffering does, because of our faith in Christ and our consecration to him, it only makes us more like Jesus. Only makes us to pray more. Only makes us to draw closer to him. And so, when I think about my dad, don't have to pay you to be good, you're good for nothing. I think, let that be said of me as far as the world is concerned. That I'm good for nothing. And the world has nothing anymore for me. Take the world. Give me Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I want to be like the Apostle Paul. Oh, everything that he considered gain, profitable, the recognition, the pleasures of the world, the comforts of the world, says, I'm through with that now. I'm marching to Zion. I'm living on a higher plane. The light of heaven is shining on my path. The atmosphere of heaven, I'm breathing into my lungs. And I just, day by day, as long as I'm here in this world, I'm not of the world, but I'm here to glorify God. I'm here to find him, and I'm here to bring in his kingdom. Hallelujah. Oh, I know that's what God's working on in every one of our lives. And you don't have to be old to be good for nothing. And you don't have to be young. But you have to be consecrated. You have to give your life to Jesus. Give everything to him. Don't leave anything behind for the prince of this world to claim. Oh, I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, I know that you want all of us, every one of us and every part of us. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you that when you went to Calvary, you gave your all. We thank you, Lord, you did that for us. The devil had no claim on you, but you took our sins upon yourself. You took the punishment that we deserved. And we praise you for that, Lord. We can never praise you enough. We thank you that through that death, the enemy has been defeated. We thank you that we've been released from his claim and released from his power. One day we'll be released from his presence altogether. And Lord, while we're here in this world, we pray, Lord, that you'll render us useless to the world, but to love it, to love the people of the world, and to rescue the people of the world. But as far as Satan's purposes, Lord, that let us have nothing to do with that. Lord, we come out of the world by coming into you. We are kept from the world by abiding in you. And again, we overcome the world by trusting in you. And Lord, what a call. What an honor. We want to thank you for that tonight, Lord. We want to give ourselves. We want to walk worthy of that call. We want to be of great value in the kingdom of Christ, where once we may have been useful in the kingdom of Satan. But now we want to be of value in your kingdom. To live for you and you alone, and to glorify you in everything we do, everything we say. And then when you're done with us, Lord, then take us home, where we have no reason to be here anymore, but to go and see your glory. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just taking a moment to let some of these thoughts, these truths settle into our hearts. Deal with God about it. Lord, is there anything in my life that the devil is happy to see there? Oh, give me a pure heart, Lord. Cleanse me fully. Give me holy desires and a holy reaching out for you and all that you have for me. I pray in Jesus' name again. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord.